Study findings which, if they're right, could spark a debate about whether to add lithium to drinking water. It was a huge Danish study which found that people living in areas with higher than average levels of the metal lithium in their drinking water had lower chances of developing dementia. Lithium is best known for powering rechargeable batteries in mobile phones and as a treatment for bipolar disorder, an Australian discovery. One of the co-authors of an accompanying editorial on the study was Professor John McGrath, a leading psychiatric epidemiologist at the Queensland Brain Institute, and he's in our Brisbane studio. Welcome to the Health Report, John.
Hi, Norman.
What was known about lithium and dementia before this study?
Well, this is a very curious finding, but there had been clues to suggest that lithium in cell cultures and animal models may protect the brain from changes associated with dementia. And there'd been a handful of studies where they actually gave small doses of lithium, not the doses that we'd give to people with bipolar disorder, much lower doses. And then they looked at cognitive outcomes, and there was some evidence to suggest that lithium may protect and slow down cognitive decline. It wasn't completely solid evidence, though, Norman. It was mixed.
Right. And this is called microdosing in a sense, isn't it? Exactly.
They're very small doses. They are not homeopathy, though. They are measurable doses.
So tell me about the study, because the Danes were alongside the Australians 50-odd years ago when John Cade discovered lithium helped bipolar disorder. So they've got form when it comes to lithium.
Yeah, it's a great story that I think Australians can be proud of. But as you say, John Cade, a Melbourne-based psychiatrist, published in 1949 that lithium was effective for treating bipolar disorder. And that I think, is still the most highly cited paper in the Medical Journal of Australia. And then the work leapt over to Aarhus, where I'm working now part-time in Denmark, where there was a psychiatrist working at the hospital whose brother had bipolar disorder. His name's Måns Skou. And he started to do trials, and that really triggered off the cascade that lithium is actually a very effective treatment.
So tell me about this study that they did.
So this was done by some colleagues of mine. I'm not an author on this study, by Lars Kessin and people in Copenhagen.
I'm impressed that you're Danish, by the way, John.
It's very good to prevent dementia, Norman, if you can learn a new language at my age. This is why people like I go to Denmark. So they have fantastic record linkage. So what Lars did was he identified for everyone in the entire kingdom of Denmark, everyone that had had dementia over many years, and they identified 73,000 individuals who died from dementia. They matched them with precision virtuoso epidemiology, matched on month of birth and same sex, and did not have dementia at the age of onset of the case. And then they were able to look at the...
And they matched them with 10 times that number of people, 700,000. 33,000 people.
Exactly. So we're really at industrial scale epidemiology, over 700,000. And then they were able to access data that measured the concentration of lithium in drinking water in many parts of Denmark, and they filled in and smoothed it out. But they know where everyone lives, Norman.
There's no escaping.
They've got your CPR number, it's called, and I've got one now as well. But they're able to see
so
the address.
So what did they find?
So they found that if you lived in an area with low lithium concentration in your drinking water, then you had an increased risk of dementia. And it was quite a startling finding. It went in the direction they hypothesized. So low lithium, increased risk; high lithium, decreased risk. And that was the finding.
But it wasn't linear, because if you expect something, cause this is an association. This is not cause and effect. And if it was cause and effect, you'd expect it to be a straight line. More lithium, less Alzheimer's, but it kind of tailed off after a while.
Yeah, it was a bit bendy. We're used to this in nutritional epidemiology. So too much, too little is not quite right. So you need that Goldilocks zone. And
So it doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't cause and effect.
No, I think that in nutritional epidemiology, we don't expect to see a perfect linear relationship. So if you're looking at scurvy and vitamin C, it only really kicks in below a certain level, and above that, there's no linear relationship at all. So I think we need to be careful about over expecting nutritional epidemiology to be linear.
So you wrote this editorial with Michael Burke, who's an international authority on bipolar disorder and lithium. And you kind of had five bob each way about whether or not the findings were real in this study.
Yeah, I think Michael and I are very cautious, but the bottom line is that, as your listeners know, dementia is a very, very difficult illness to treat. We don't have effective treatments to delay it or to cure it. So we are desperately looking for new clues. And that's what I like about this one. And I'm particularly attracted to modifiable risk factors. So we've got a long way to go. But if lithium in the drinking water is associated with reduced risk, as you say, if we can push it over to causality, and we're not there yet, then this could be quite an important breakthrough.
So how do you get to cause and effect?
Well, it's not so easy in long latency disorders like dementia. To do clinical trials, randomized clinical trials, you'd need to keep people under observation for many, many decades, and that's not really feasible. There are some tricks that epidemiologists could do where they could do internal migration studies where people live in one area with, say, high lithium and they move to low, and we could see whether their risk changes and vice versa. But I think we need to look for natural experiments where water supply changes, and then people may go from low to high and see whether there's any palpable change in the incidence of new cases of dementia.
Now, I assume that they corrected for things like people in low lithium areas might also be poorer and less educated, things that are associated with higher rates of dementia.
Yeah, the Denmark is a very homogenous society, but they did adjust for population density, and the findings persisted. But as your listeners know, there could be unmeasured confounding. There may be something that varies coincidentally with lithium concentration, which could also be a cause. But they have not identified what those variables are.
So we're a long way from putting it in the drinking water. What about studying in people who are heading for dementia, who are starting to show thinking and memory problems?
Well, I think that if you have people at high risk, they may have a particular type of genetic risk factor or other family history, then it may well be that this group would be suitable for an RCT, because you have concentrated the risk of the onset of dementia, and the outcome may be a delayed onset. So it wouldn't be that lithium would cure dementia or stop dementia, it just may delay it slightly.
So don't chew on your mobile phone just yet.
Definitely not. I don't want your listeners to do anything rash with lithium.
John, thank you. We'll come back to you to talk about what you're learning about schizophrenia from your work in Denmark on a later date. I'm sure it's fascinating.
I look forward to it.
John McGrath, who's a professor of psychiatry at both the Queensland Brain Institute and Aarhus University in Denmark. And you're listening to The Health Report here on RN, ABC News and CBC Radio across Canada.